So would you like to introduce our first guest?
Absolutely. You know, we know nature can be our friend and also can be our enemy. And Western Sydney, in particular Warragamba Dam, has been a very hotbed and debate over the last 100-odd years. And I'm really delighted to have family, I'll declare my interest, and very good friend Maurie Smith, who is involved with a strong advocate for the Hawkesbury Nepean Valley Flood Mitigation Action Committee. On behalf of the 134,000 people, Maurie, thanks for being here today.
Oh, welcome, Jim, and thanks for the opportunity to talk to all the listeners.
Well, look, many of us have watched the television and seen, you know, the devastation and those types of things that have come on with regards to Warragamba Dam and spillways and so on, and we've got all the statistics and your knowledge are second to none. What are the issues with Warragamba Dam?
Jim, the main issue is that the Burrarung Valley is huge. The catchment area that feeds into Warragamba Dam is a huge catchment area. And when the rain event falls in that catchment area, it contributes typically somewhere between 45% to 70-odd percent in a major flood event when the dam has to release. So there's a lot of technical information and debate about whether the raising the dam wall to put an air created a temporary airspace to hold that water back would be an advantage or a disadvantage.
And that's what I'd like to explore with you, because I think most of us have heard the public talk about the raising of that wall somewhere between 14 and 17 metres. I mean, there's been different things. I mean, your knowledge is so good, you're telling us before we started that in the original report it was 22 metres. But, you know, this raising of the wall, is that going to be a solution to these problems that have occurred, this loss of property and life that's occurred, particularly in the last couple of weeks?
Jim, there's two issues with it. First of all, it needs to be kept in the forefront of everyone's mind that raising the dam wall to create an airspace for mitigation purposes is the sole purpose of this exercise. It's not to store more water to supply Sydney with more water or allow further development within the basin. So,
and that's a really good point. Can you elaborate a bit on that? Because that's we hear what we call pub talk. We hear raise the wall, it'll fix it.
Will it pass the pub test?
Yeah.
Well, the current situation is that just as late as in the last month, you know, some things have been passed through Hawkesbury Council and other councils, all on the back of the state government's release of a flood plan, that the restricting the actual development within flood liable land, so that's below their current developable level. It's in the Hawkesbury at 17.3. It varies up and down the river depending on what municipality you're in. So that's, well, the actual development within the floodplain is being restricted. Okay? The main issue we have is we have a lot of previous development in the years gone by, right from when Macquarie started. I helped some friends of ours around the corner. I live on the river in George Street. And to two doors around, there's a few old homes that are built in the 1800s that get inundated. But they were built before the history was known. So Mother Nature's just delivered us an environmental impact statement. Mm-hmm. This is what can happen. And the flood we've just occurred is only what they call in the years, they call them 1 in 10, 1 in 20, 1 in 30, 1 in 100. Well, the building level within all municipalities is set at the 1 in 100. So it means that there's a chance that once in 100 years you might get a flood at this level. The one that just occurred is just over a 1 in 20. So it's not even what you consider a real major, major event. It's a major event, don't get me wrong, but it's not a catastrophic event. So we need to answer your question you asked me. Will raising the dam wall prevent that? It will, in the floods we've just occurred, it should keep those floods down to around 10 metres. As course, as the local water, because every event's different, it could get worse. But it will give the emergency services and all the community longer time to evacuate, because they'll, instead of knowing just when the dam's going to release, we haven't all that back time to store that water before there's a release, to allow more evacuation.
We've got Maurie Smith, who is very involved, strong advocate of the Hawkesbury Nepean Valley Flood Mitigation Action Committee. Maurie, that's a really good point, Darren. It's buying time.
Yeah, it's all about buying time to actually manage the downstream effects of all that water coming from as far away as Lithgow and just on the other side, the Shoalhaven and the Wallandilly Shire, which is a huge amount of water. Now, Murray, we actually hear, and you answered the question a bit, but I'm going to rephrase it again for you to discuss it more. There's a lot of opposition to raising the dam wall because people say, well, we should manage where we live. Now, you're saying we are managing where we live. So what other things have been done to help manage where we live in that we're managing it but also still need that airspace in and behind Warragamba Dam Wall?
Darren, well, there's been a lot of work done in the last, I'd say, 5 years and previously, but in the last 5 years it's really been ramped up. And since 2017, the New South Wales government through Infrastructure New South Wales have introduced a Reliance Resilient Valley document. Now, all the shire councils that are in the valley have adopted to the main this policy, while some of the items within the document, some of the councils won't endorse for waiting for some further information. But in the main, it's been widely accepted, and a lot of it's been implemented. The evacuation routes have been identified. They've been signposted. People may see a sign up with a big blue sign with a white arrow around the area that they are flood evacuation route signs. There's been education programs in as much as they've put out billboards, mobile billboards. There's been ads in the papers, and the ads say it has flooded here and it may flood again. So they've been put right throughout all the communities. They've even gone as much as developing a curriculum for the children in primary school to be developed, and it's been developed through our constituencies and introduced into schools on trial basis, and I believe it's going to be rolled out. So the education program will start with the children in the schools to make them aware that we're in a flood area.
Because the interesting thing for me, Murray, is you're really looking at a number of stages within that total plan. Pre the wall and then post the wall. And, you know, we've had experience down, and we're going to be talking to Sharon McNamara from Del Rio after speaking with you about what's happened further downstream. And you live that experience being on that beautiful river.
Yeah, that's true, Jim. That's true.
We're going to go to a little break. Can you believe how quick time goes?
And no, it just evaporates, doesn't it?
Evaporates. That's a very good word. Murray, we'll have a little break, have a song, and come back and find out a little bit more about what we can do to help with your committee.
Alive 90.5.
Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years' worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
It's 21 minutes past 10, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
I'm really delighted to have in our studios today at 90.5 on Spotlight, Murray Smith, an extremely strong advocate and great community leader in the Hawkesbury in particular, from Hawkesbury Nepean Valley Flood Mitigation Action Committee. Murray, we started talking and looking at the whole concept of the dam. Some of the stuff you were talking about through the break was most interesting. Can you just elaborate a little bit more about the Warragamba Dam? Because I think people are very confused as some of the comments that I gave you.
Yeah, Jim, well, the dam itself had to undergo some major repair work to bring it up to world standards. This was all highlighted back in the Murano report, back when they were going to raise the wall to 22 metres to create the airspace. And that got shelved with the change of government. They had to go through with the repair of the dam. So that hasn't that long been finished for some major works to go up there, and the Warragamba Dam community has been severely affected by all of that. Mm. Now, their life's just coming back to some normality, and now we've been lobbying the governments of the day, our group, to push forward with this airspace mitigation and raising the dam wall. And to be honest with you, we thought our fight was over because the government had come out with the Reliance Resilient Valley program, and item two in this in this document is raising the dam wall for mitigating airspace.
Mm.
So the push was on to get all these things done, and we thought the fight was over. But now it looks like our the fight must have continued, or not so much the fight, but we need to convince or somehow or other have the other side of the opponents to this consider the fact that, yes, there is an environmental threat to inundating 0.07% of Burragarang Valley for possibly up to 20 days till the water's released again. But there's a huge environmental effect for the people that live downstream. Just in this current event, there were 70,000 people landlocked. The river was up. All the bridges were closed. The Bells Line of Road had a massive landslip, which our group had actually identified during the bridge duplication bridge program, which is going to be undertaken at Richmond. So Bells Line of Road was cut. The Putty Road was cut. So all those people were isolated on the other side of the river.
And it must have been really sad for you and Christine, if I can say Christine, your wife, you know, standing on that river bank there where you live, the beautiful Hawkesbury, and to see the devastation not only near you and for you, but to think about it, all the things that you're trying to help the community, that was happening in real time over the last couple of weeks.
Jim, but what was uplifting was the effort that everyone put in. Like the authorities, the SES took charge of this process, and they turned up en masse, the police, water police. I was in a boat with some guys from out in central Queensland delivering fodder to some animals because they didn't exactly know where to go because they came from Roma, which is understandable. They wouldn't know where we are in Windsor, right? Mm-hmm. But the guys were using GPS and stuff to get about. But at my front gate in George Street, we had a Coles semi-trailer come down with food, basic food, toilet paper. Of course, you've got to have toilet paper. We all know that from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Bread, milk, this, that and the other. And it was ferried across the river to another Coles truck to take it to North Richmond supermarket because there was no food, nothing. Shelves were bare. And it was Channel 7 had actually come and said, oh, I'm passing the stuff down. What are you doing this for? And I said, oh, well, this is what the community in the Hawkesbury do. I said, have a look at this. It's just like the Battle of Britain. We have the little ships. Here's these boats of all different sizes, rubber duckies, bigger, anything that was safe to negotiate the flood was. This river's still in flood. It's doing 20 kilometres plus, the river. And these guys are taking this food across the river to another location at the Butterfly Farm, if anyone knows where that is. It's it's on the bottom of in Wilberforce, and they'd pick it in another Coles truck and take it to the supermarket in North Richmond. So the public could come in and purchase their needs.
I must say the resilience we have is outstanding, and thank you to everyone out there, anyone who's listening who has helped. Sincere thanks from Jim and I and Spotlight and from Murray and all those actually out in the area. Now, a question for you, Murray. We know that the 1 metre kind of leeway that's there to help protect the dam at the moment helped delay this floodwater just a little bit. Now, we're talking about being able to delay that by up to nearly a day if raising the dam wall goes ahead. How does that sort of delay help in these sorts of situations of resilience, evacuation, property protection, environment protection?
There'll be some lessons out of this, and this will be the most recorded documented flood in history because it just so happens that we've got all the gauges working in the river at the one time, and some new ones. And anyone that had Floods Near Me app on their phone, you could actually watch the river live, what the levels were. And we had some predictions of what the maximum flood level would be. And I can't remember the actual levels, but it gradually increased as the Bureau of Meteorology increased their weather warnings. And the last weather warning was we might get another 1.5 metres on top of what we got. This is when the dam was already spilling. So in answer to your question, Darren, what it would do is those bits that they don't really know and they're sort of half guessing because they don't know how much is going to fall, they estimate it, it would be we would start at the beginning where we got zero. Like we haven't let water go yet and still coming in. So from that we get that time to start getting out before we get a go. Because the whole idea of the mitigating wall or the airspace wall is to hold that water back until after the event has receded and then release that water slowly over a period of time. There's a whole lot of reasons why that has to happen. The most, one of the most important things is within 20 days you could get another flood event. We're now in a cycle, in our next flood cycle. We go, last one's what, 86, 88, 90, 91. So we're now in that cycle again. Down the track, El Nino, the two cycles. So we're back in that other cycle. So in the current flood we had flood warnings is going to be, I can't remember the exact levels they warned, so it slowly increased. And people kept making us on that increase, but we would be able to say, look, it is going to flood. You need to take evacuation orders now.
Murray, we've run out of time, and it's really sad. We podcast this, we send it out to thousands of people. What do you want to say to the government?
Stay the track, stay the line, push forward, try to convince those that oppose you to look at the effect, what it's doing to the downstream community, and take a fair account of what would be the real damage within the Burragarang Valley for flooding 0.07% on a temporary basis, as against forcing thousands of people to be homeless, businesses to close, massive cleanup, and probably a cost of somewhere in the billions of dollars in recovery.
Murray, thanks for joining us today. You've really articulated the tragedy and some solutions with regards to the whole area of Warragamba Dam. Have a great day and thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Aaron.
Alive 90.5.